And we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this day. We just pray you would bless us as we look into it. May we be challenged and inspired by it, Lord, to fulfill your will for our lives as your people. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And when we think of the church of the Corinthians, we think of them as a church that had a lot of problems. We think of how they are fighting amongst themselves. We see how some of them were suing each other. There was someone in their midst that was committing blatant sin that they hadn't dealt with. And they were doing the Lord's Supper all wrong. And that's why we understand Paul wrote the epistle of 1 Corinthians, to help them sort through and fix a lot of these problems. And between the writings of 1 Corinthians and the writing of 2 Corinthians, we find that the Corinthian church had received Paul's first letter with the proper attitude, and they'd started getting back on the right track. And so in writing the second epistle to the Corinthians, Paul is encouraging them as they seek to make things right. He's trying to get them to keep doing that, but as well he is trying to encourage them that now that they are making things right, they need to get their minds back onto what is to be the focus of every church, focus of every believer, and that is upon what we would call the ministry, which would mean the preaching of the gospel, the fulfilling of the Great Commission, the advancement of the kingdom. And as churches and as believers, we all have different roles to play, of course, in advancing that great cause, whether it's praying or giving or being personally involved and going out and proclaiming the gospel. But we realize that is what we all need to be focused upon in one way or another. And we recognize, too, that that's why the devil so often tries to sow strife and division amongst us as believers, because he knows if he can get us fighting against each other, that we'll lose our focus and it'll give him free rein. And we can often fall prey to his devices in this respect, but as soon as we realize that we need to get back on track and back to what we are supposed to be doing, being engaged in the battle against the forces of darkness, as we seek to be used of God to bring souls to a saving knowledge of Christ. And so as Paul writes the second epistle to the Corinthians, he writes a lot about the ministry that he was a part of, the ministry he was challenging the Corinthians to be a part of, and by extension, what we as well are challenged to be a part of, too, as believers. And in the previous chapter, chapter 3, Paul speaks much of the gloriousness of the ministry that we have in Christ, contrasting it with the ministry of the Old Testament. The ministry of the law, that it was a ministry of death, it was a ministry of condemnation, it was written on stones, speaking of the Old Testament. But the ministry that we have now in Christ in the New Testament era, it's a ministry of the Spirit. It is a ministry of righteousness. Instead of being written on stones, it is written on our hearts. And so as we begin chapter 4, we read in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." And that's the idea, that it was such a great and glorious ministry that we don't want to faint in it. That we, as it says in another place, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That we persist in it, we don't give up on it, we don't allow ourselves to be discouraged, because we know how worthwhile it is, and we know what joy it brings just to be a part of that. And as well, because it is such a glorious ministry, it behooves us that we would conduct ourselves in a way that is fitting of it. As we've looked at in previous weeks, we looked at how the idea that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And we see that where Paul speaks of in verse 2 there, that he was making sure that in everything he was above board, that we see in the previous chapter he mentioned that he used great plainness of speech. He didn't do anything deceitfully or with ulterior motives. But instead it says in verse 2 that we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That by what he said, by the way that he and his companions conducted themselves, they manifested the truth, and in so doing they commended themselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Essentially, they conducted themselves wisely, circumspectly, so that there would be nothing that would distract someone or turn them away from the message that they were proclaiming. And by the way that they acted, they showed themselves to be trustworthy. And as they spoke of Christ, people would more readily accept what they had to say because they were living what they said they believed. But we ask, well, why is it so important for Paul, and by extension for us as believers, to persist in our efforts to share the gospel? Why is it so important that we lay out the truth so plainly? Why is it so important that we conduct ourselves with honesty and integrity of character? And the reason it is because there are many who are blinded, many to whom the gospel is hidden, many who are in the dark concerning the truth and are in need of someone to enlighten them. And while it might often seem to be a painstaking process with little to show for it, we need to be persistent in it for the gospel's sake and for the sake of those around us who we pray would come to repentance and faith in Christ. But as we consider the greatness as well as the simplicity of the gospel, we wonder, well, why is it such a painstaking process? Why do some turn from the truth? We lay it out plainly and they won't accept it. Why is it that some, that they won't even allow you to share the truth with them? They don't even give you a chance to explain it. We think, well, the message of the gospel is straightforward enough that even a child can understand it well enough to come to Christ in faith. And we think with the gospel of what it offers, that it is so glorious, why would anyone in their right mind turn that down? What is the problem? Well, the problem is that there's great spiritual forces at work which are persistently and purposefully fighting against the gospel. The devil is referred to in the Bible in many different ways, and here he is spoken of as the god of this world. And it's the sense that he does not want anyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so he purposefully and actively engages in blinding men and women to the truth, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And so that is the situation that we find so many around us in today. The same situation we recognize that we once were in before we came to Christ ourselves, before someone shared the gospel with us. That many walk in darkness and stumble through life not knowing of life having any real hope or purpose. Many pursue after wealth or pleasure, thinking that's going to provide satisfaction, that's going to provide fulfillment, that's going to provide comfort, only to be disappointed, but yet having no sense of where else to turn to find what they're looking for. And many are convinced that what they might pursue after is good and right and in their best interests, realizing only too late that what they're pursuing is evil and they're harming themselves and others by continuing in it. That so much of, we think of what has occurred in the last couple of centuries has been a focused attack by the devil on the Word of God itself, to the point that many think that the Bible is irrelevant to them. They think that it's just a bunch of made-up stories, it's just the writings of men, that's only believed in and followed by the desperate or the gullible, that it offers nothing that would truly interest them. And the lies of the devil have been told so long and for so often that everyone, even many who claim to be Christians, believe them. But the truth is that in the Bible, the written Word of God, and in Christ, the living Word of God, people will find everything that they truly need and have sought after in life. That in God, and in His Word, and in Christ Himself, there is hope, there is purpose, there is forgiveness, there is fulfillment. There is a life that is worth living, and we each find it as we hear the gospel, as we receive it by faith, and its power transforms our lives. And so realizing that so many are blind to the truth, what does that lead us to do? Well, for one, when we understand that people are blind to the truth, that helps to keep us from getting angry or frustrated or giving up on others when they don't respond as we would hope they would to the gospel. We recognize that these people are not our enemies, even though they might think that we are their enemies, that they have been brainwashed. And out of compassion for them, we need to continue to try to show them the truth, help them to see what the reality is as the Bible declares it. And as well, recognizing the blindness of so many around us, it leads us to be all that more persistent in trying to reach them, in being a witness for them of the truth of the gospel, just daily in what we have the opportunity to say, but even more so in what we do and how we live. Because we realize the gospel is mankind's only hope, that for anyone, that if they don't believe on the name of Lord Jesus Christ, they are condemned already, and so they have to hear it, they have to respond to it if they have any hope for salvation and deliverance. And so that brings us to the thought that is expressed in the last few verses we read this morning. It says, verse 5, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake," that we're not preaching ourselves, we're not trying to get people to follow us, we're not allowing our feelings to get hurt if someone doesn't respond as we hope they might. We realize that much more is at stake, that we're preaching not ourselves but Christ Jesus, and we're trying to lift Him up. And as Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me." And in verse 6, we see the reason behind it all, where it says, "For God, who command the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And it's something to think about. Throughout all of Scripture, we have a theme presented of light versus darkness. That from the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, we see it spoken of. Genesis chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1, says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." That at the very beginning, that the world was shrouded in darkness, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the light could not exist with darkness. That once the light shone, the darkness could not be there. And we think as well, in the same sense, when we think of the New Testament, we think of how the world was entirely shrouded in the darkness of sin, that God Himself sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as the light to this world. That in John chapter 1, we see the Apostle John make these statements. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And he speaks of John the Baptist that came to bear witness of the light. Verse 7, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so, we see from the beginning that idea of light and darkness, but we recognize Christ himself to be that light of the world. We see that Jesus himself declared of himself in John chapter 8. In verse 12, he said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so we recognize that God the Father, as it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, that he has commanded the light to shine out of darkness. We think of it physically speaking from the beginning of creation, how he commanded, let there be light, and there was light. But we think speaking spiritually, especially the idea of how the world was shrouded in the darkness of sin, and he said, let there be light, and he sent his Son to be the light to the world. And so we recognize that to be true. And so we want to further recognize the latter part of that verse in the same way, that God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, says there, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we realize that that is what happened when we were saved. And that continues to happen in our daily life as we seek to walk with Him. Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, it speaks of the position we were before we knew the Lord and what has happened through coming to salvation in Him. It says, Titus 3 and verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That we were in darkness before, but now we are in the light. That as it talks about in Colossians 1 and verse 13, that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. We recognize in that fact that now the light of God shines in our heart, that we know the truth. The truth has made us free, and as we walk with Him, that in God there is, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. If we go away from the truth, if we follow after sinfulness, then we begin to walk in darkness, and we don't know where we're going. But if we follow Him as believers, we have that light. And so we think of that God's Word is a light to us, the Lord Jesus is a light to us, and it has shined into our hearts, and has transformed our lives. But as well, we don't want to overlook the latter part of verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4, where it says that the light of God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's the idea that there is a purpose, that it's saying that God has given light in our hearts that we would give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to all those around us, that they might see Christ in us and be delivered from their blindness and come to the light themselves. As William MacDonald puts it, we are not the terminals of God's blessing, of God's grace, of God's light. We are to be the channels of it. It's kind of, you think of it, that we're, you think of even in this year of how all the farmers had good crops, and they have all this amount of grain, and of course they're not going to keep that grain all themselves, right? They're going to take it to the terminals, to the elevators that are there. But we recognize that that's not where it stays, that those aren't just a terminal, they're a distribution point as well. That they receive that grain, but then they're shipping it elsewhere. And we can think that it travels by rail to the coast. And there's terminals there that receive it, but it doesn't just stay there. It continues on and goes across the ocean, other places where they're looking for that grain. And it's kind of the same idea with us, with God's blessing, with God's grace, and God's light, that we are not, we don't just receive it, we are also to give it out. That God has given it to us to give to others, that we do not just absorb the light of God, that we are there to also to reflect it. And we think of that, that Jesus declared himself, of course, to be the light of the world, but we also see the declaration that he made in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. Matthew 5 and verse 14 says, "Ye are the light of the world," speaking to his disciples. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so it's the thought that we are to be lights unto the world. And you can think of it, especially at this time of year, where you look out at the night sky and you can always see so many lights on the horizon. And when you really think about where those lights are, they can be miles and miles away from us, but yet we can still see their light. And it's the same with us, that we're to be lights on the world, and we don't realize how far our light can shine, but it makes a big difference, especially the darker that the world is that we find ourselves to be, the greater the light can shine. And as well, we think of how Paul declares in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And that's, we were darkness one time, that we followed after sin, that we were under the deception of the devil, the same as everyone else, but now we are light in the Lord, that we are to show people the way. And it says, verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the untruthful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And it says, verse 13, "For all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Therefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." That it's that idea that is what we have the responsibility to do, that we make things manifest, that people are in blindness and darkness, they don't see the truth, but we show them what the truth is, show them their needs so that they can come to the one who is the one that will meet their needs, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we as believers, we are, God tells us that we are to let our light shine, and we realize that we need to allow our lights to shine to those around us. As we spoke of a few weeks ago, just as Hosea declared of his nation, so we could very well declare of our nation as well, that where what Hosea said was, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That some have forgotten God and the knowledge of Him, some we might say are willfully ignorant, having rejected knowledge, and so many don't know. The gospel is hid to them. The God of this world has blinded their eyes, there's many that we would be surprised to realize they've never actually heard or had anyone explain to them who Jesus is. And some might never heard, and others we might realize might be in a place of completely misunderstanding what the gospel is. They might think, okay, well Christ came and he basically... I think he died for everybody's sins, so that means everybody gets to go to heaven without having to do anything, without having to have that idea. Well, I need to actually make him my Savior. I need to repent of my sins and trust in him. And as well, some might think, well, Christ, I kind of am supposed to just live the best life I can, and Christ died, and he'll kind of just sort of take up whatever my failings are. He'll kind of make up the balance so that I can make it into heaven. And we realize that the understanding we have from the Scriptures is all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It isn't our works, and then Jesus helping kind of push us over the edge. It's where we have nothing to offer, and we need Him desperately to pay our entire penalty for our sin. That if we relied at all on our own merits, that it's not going to be sufficient. It isn't Christ plus our works, it's Christ alone. And so we realize that many are in darkness, that darkness overshadows so many, and we think that with each generation that is born, that darkness threatens to engulf a whole other group of individuals that haven't heard and don't know the truth. But we realize, as it says, that God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He says to this dark world, let there be light. And the truth is, what we see in this passage and in many other passages, is that we as believers are that light. That we must let our light shine out of us and through us. That just as John the Apostle declared John the Baptist, we are not that light. We preach not ourselves, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. We recognize that God's light was given us, and we're there to share it with others. We want to show people what has happened in our life, that we were in darkness before, but God's light shined in and that's transformed us. And we want to show what God has done, that we want to let our light shine to make certain as well that there is nothing that's in our life which could possibly obscure that light, that we don't want to hide under a bushel, we don't want to be unfaithful. And again, that's what Paul talked about, that we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, that we make sure that in all that we do that we're above board, that we're faithful, that we're honest, because we are the light, that people are counting on us. They look to us to see what is the truth, how am I to come unto the Lord. They need to know that, and we don't want to have anything that might cause them to turn away. We want to provide things honest in the sight of all men, that we want to avoid even the appearance of evil as believers for the sake of those around us. And it's there's an old saying, I guess it's a Jewish saying actually, and it says that it's better to light one candle than to complain about the darkness. That we can see how our society is going. We can think, well, things are turning so far away from the principles of God's Word that just evil is present. Evil seems to be increasing and advancing. And we can be frustrated about that, but yet we have a responsibility to shine a light, to do what we can where we are. To shine God's light to those around us. And so as God said so many thousands of years ago, and He said, let there be light. And so let there be light in our community, and let it come from us as we serve the Lord. Let the light that God has placed in our hearts be shared to those around us. We realize that the gospel is their only hope. They have to know the truth, that how shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? They need somebody that's going to tell them, someone that's going to share them with them, one way or the other. And we realize that. All need to hear the gospel. All need to see it lived out in the lives of God's people. And so may the Lord help us, that we might truly be the light of the world, so that those around us might be delivered from the darkness and blindness and deception of the devil, and come to see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You again for Your Word. We thank You for sending individuals into our lives, Lord, that You use to shine Your light unto us, Lord, so that we could come to saving knowledge of You. And we just pray, Lord, You would help us to be a witness for You, to shine the light that You have given us, Lord, that many too might be freed from the darkness of sin and come to the light of Your gospel, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn before we close. Number 371. Number 371, we'll sing "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning" as we stand. On the first verse.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore, but to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send the gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send the gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send the gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word once again. We pray You dismiss us with Your blessing this day. Use us for Your glory in the week to come. And may Your presence be with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.